Join me in prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are here today and with us every day. And this day as we gather and worship, song and word, deed, conversation, listening, hearing this list of prayer requests, it's mixed as life is. At the same time, highs and lows, things to rejoice about, but also things that weigh us down. And so we come to you with it all. Lord, ultimately we want our heart to rejoice in you, for you are our God and our Savior, our Father and friend and Redeemer, our Provider. You have made us strong when we are weak, and we can rejoice because you rescue us. You rescue us from sin, from the penalty of sin. You rescue us from a life with no meaning. You rescue us from a life with no purpose. For you, God, there is no one like you. You are holy, and there is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Lord, you protect your faithful ones, but all the wicked will disappear in darkness. No one can succeed by their strength alone, and so, God, we come to you again for your that strength and power that you provide. Those that who would fight against you, Lord, will be shattered. You thunder against them from heaven. You, Lord, judge throughout the earth. And you give power to your people, increasing the strength of your chosen. And so, God, we come to you, looking to you to powerfully intervene in the requests that we have shared. We think about Bob, who's nearing the end of life. We just pray for peace for he and family, for the many people that are dealing with cancer on our list, especially think about Callie coming into the final weeks of chemo. We just ask for that to be effective and sustain the Johnson family, Lord, as they support her and each other. We think about this officer who lost their life. Tragic situation. What a call that they have to protect and serve in that way. Lord, that you would comfort and that you would help this community, our community, to be there for each other. For others on our list of Ruby and Trisha's dad, Georgine. Again, we just ask for your touch in those situations. We thank you for the ways that you work and help us to be patient to see that, Lord, for the healing of Caleb, and ask for ongoing strength for his elbow. For Joanne and her birthday today, what a great gift she is to many people. Ask a blessing upon her and family as they celebrate, and for many more years of health, Lord, we pray for them. We thank you for Bethel and the opportunity to share our facility in different ways, for the choir that was able to meet here and practice, and then the concert that was also here. And what a great time of worship and celebration of song and who you are, Lord, a message that was loud and clear through what was shared in that day. And Lord, as I reflect again on yesterday, our first Saturday of the month, and thinking about the ministry of Ruby's Pantry, we just thank you for Lynn and the vision and his faithfulness. I ask for comfort for his family and for the ministry of Ruby's, Lord, for someone now to fill that void and continue to guide and direct that ministry. And for us as well, Lord, that we would continue to be filled with joy to serve in that way. For the prayer requests that came in, Lord, from people as they filled out those sheets, we lift them up to you as well. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Help us to sense you throughout the rest of this service, that our hearts would be open and our ears would be open to your Spirit. We pray in your name. Amen. We're moving to a time, opportunity to give sort of a regular giving to the church as you would like to. I'm going to give you another sneak peek this week into the sermon. So we're ending, or we're doing a four-week series on money and finances. And actually on our Communion Sunday today, there's opportunity to give twice. So it's here and then in our benevolent fund. And a lot of the sermon is going to focus on the idea of being generous, looking at different reasons why we would be generous, with one of the reasons being to meet the need. As we see a need out there and hear about the need, people can respond in generosity. And so there's needs here within the church, but also within that benevolent fund that is going through to people who have needs. And so we thank you for giving in both ways. I'll invite the ushers to come forward at this time. And as the plates are being passed, I'll share some more ministry news and announcements and pray for them afterwards. Thank you. There's a few events happening here. We come into the month of May. One of them, within the greater community, there's a women's spring luncheon on the 13th. So it's just this coming Saturday. It's down at First Covenant River Falls. On our bulletin board in the AGM, there's more details, so you can check that out. Time, and I would guess there's an RSV of some sort, but maybe not. Maybe it's just come show up. As we think about people being a part of a church, sometimes there comes a point where people want to be members, so Bethel Covenant has that opportunity as well. Or if you are just maybe unfamiliar with the covenant as a whole, that denomination, I'm seeing what the interest level is, and then I have a class for that. And if that is something that you're interested in, you can let me know one way or another, verbally, send me a note, email, text, whatever it may be. And then as we come into the summer season here, we have our softball team that's happening. Our first game is May 22nd on a Monday. It's either 7 o'clock or 7,000. I'm not sure there. My eyes just catch those things every once in a while. I do. Come and play, sign up, or come and cheer. Or if not that night, there'll be lots of games. The season starts. Yeah. Dealer, we thank you for who you are and for this money that's been generously given, Lord, to the church, to you, to the ministry, to meet needs. We just ask your blessing upon it to multiply it for your kingdom work, we pray. Amen. Kids! Please, please release kids. Thank you, Nicole and Trevor. Andy typed that one, see? Please. Our scripture is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, you have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. On November 27th in 2021, Michigan was playing a football game against their arch rival, Ohio State. If Michigan were to win, Coach Jim Harbaugh would get paid an extra $500,000 as a bonus for winning the Big Ten East Division. This is somewhat of a news story because during that school year, the school year of 2021-2022, was a school year where many universities, colleges, schools were making cuts due to fewer students being enrolled. And the University of Michigan was doing the same thing. They had made a 5% or 7.5% or 10% pay cut to the personnel in the athletic department. It actually started in the 2020 school year, and now they are in year two of lower wages. They didn't do a pay cut for anyone making less than $50,000. So to their credit, I thought that was really interesting. However, if Michigan wins that game, Jim Harbaugh gets another $500,000. Well, you can see the score. Michigan wins. So he got his bonus. Within 48 hours of that win, by end of day Monday, he had a press conference letting people know that after discussing it with his wife, Sarah, that he's going to donate any and all bonus money that he received to those in the athletic department that have had a wage decrease. This was promised before the Big Ten. I don't know which way we're going. Oh yeah, we're going the right way. Here we go. This was promised before the Big Ten game against Iowa on December 4th. If they won that game, if Michigan wins that game, then Jim Harbaugh wins, or with his contract, he would receive an additional $1 million. Well, they won. The score was 42-3. And Jim and his wife, Sarah, were able to donate another $1 million to families at Michigan. That year, Michigan then played in the championship game against Georgia. Andy? I don't know why it's not responding to me. If I do this, that means do the slide. If he would have won that national title game, he would have received another $1 million and would have donated then $2.5 million. In total, that year, he was able to donate to 219 different staff members with gifts ranging from $935 to $133,000. Of all the adjectives that a person could use to describe that giving, generous seems appropriate. I then came across this article that talked about a girl in Lansing, Michigan, where she was going to donate and did donate money from her lemonade stand to a local shelter. As the story goes, Natalie is a 5-year-old girl who loves cats. So she, along with her aunt, had a lemonade stand for a day and then donated all of the proceeds to a local animal humane society. The total was $83.42. This, too, could be described as generous. $83 is a lot of money for a 5-year-old. So we have two stories of giving. Two people deciding how much they were going to give. One was whatever came to them as way of bonuses, And the other was whatever came to them by way of sales. And then two people who were generous, giving what they decided to give, no matter the amount. Both were generous. Which one was more generous? Well, this is somewhat of an unfair question. And perhaps one that really can't be answered, because generosity is not measured in total amount given. In these two stories, we see two people facing a question that we all face all the time, which is, now that I have this sum of money, what am I going to do with it? And both decided to give it away to meet the needs of others. I'm sure they thought about keeping it. They could have spent the money on themselves. They could have spent money on people who were closer to them. They could have saved it, but they didn't do any of that. They were generous with the money that came to them. Generosity is a key attribute, an attitude, when it comes to being stewards of the money and the objects that God has placed in our possession. So we can be generous, not only with money, but just as a side note, we can be generous with other parts of our life. We can be generous with our time. We can be generous with our words. We can be generous with our acts of service, and so on. However, for us today, again, as we're ending that four-week series on money, we are looking at generosity and what it means to be generous. And the reason why we're doing this is because generous giving is one of the habits based on biblical principles when it comes to the habits that we want to have as we manage God's money that's in our possession. These five habits are: spend less than you make, give generously, avoid use of debt, of consumer debt especially, set long-term goals, and plan for financial margin. Now, the question that I have, and maybe we all could collectively have, is to consider, why is this habit phrased to give generously? Why not just say give? Is it that the church is trying to manipulate or trick people or guilt people into giving a lot of money? Could the ministry be greedy? I don't think that's the reasons why the word generously is used. The reason is based on the sowing and reaping principle. Now, I know the answer to this question, which is, are there any farmers out there at all? We all know the principle of sowing and reaping. And it's in verse 6 that says, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So here is my visual aid. If I were to go plant seed in the ground, and I have options, am I going to plant this much seed in the ground and expect a lot of return as a result? Or am I going to expect sow this much seed in the ground? Or am I going to plant this much seed in the ground? It would be unreasonable and illogical to think the small cup is going to reap as much as the big bucket. The question is, how much return is each sort of pile of seed going to give? Well, the farmer might say, that depends on how much flooding is going to happen in the field, or will there be a drought? What about insect damage, or hail damage, or other crop damage? What kind of seed is that? Did you plant it too early? Was there a frost killing off your first go-around? Did you fertilize? Can the machines get in the field in the fall? And what about, okay, I understand, I don't want to be a farmer. A little bit too much stress for me. Very glad for farmers. I like to eat. But all things being equal, the sowing and reaping principle is the more you sow, the more you reap. It would not make much sense that the lesser amount of seed is going to produce the same amount that the more of the larger amount of seed. If you sow sparingly, then you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, then you reap generously. The reason to be a generous giver is then that those around you whom you have been generous to, including God, will be generous back towards you. Again, think about Jim Harbaugh giving away $1.5 million to 219 different staffers in the athletic department. If someone before this happened didn't necessarily like that football coach, they sure changed their mind in a hurry. It isn't, you know, that all of these people, that the 219 people then gave money back to Coach Harbaugh, that isn't necessarily the generosity that he reaped. The generosity that Jim received back is in friendship, in words of encouragement, and in general support for him and the football program. So here's a good time to note what the principle of sowing and reaping is not. It is not a prosperity gospel teaching. Prosperity gospel is when a person thinks positive thoughts and then declares positive statements and gives money to the church, then that person and family will have wealth, health, and happiness. Prosperity gospel is also known as the health and wealth gospel, or the name it and claim it gospel. This theology first took prominence in the United States through the TV evangelist Oral Roberts. And he liked to use the term seed faith, letting all of those that were tuned into his TV hour that any money that was donated to his ministry would return sevenfold. So why wouldn't a person donate to his ministry? I get a sevenfold return? Well, then that's what I'm going to do. Other famous prosperity gospel pastors in the past were Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker. And there still exists today those who teach this theology. But interestingly enough, none of these pastors would say that that's what they're doing. The principle of sowing and reaping is not meant to be understood as a gospel prosperity gospel. Appealing to people's greed is an ironic way to encourage people to be generous. I just don't think a person can be both greedy and generous. There are other non-biblical tactics that pastors and ministries and nonprofits or any organization can use to try to get to solicit funds or encourage people to be generous. Anytime that guilt or manipulation or fear is used, those are not good. Those are not good reasons to be generous. So let's look at some of these biblical reasons to be generous. The first reason is also found in 2 Corinthians, but earlier chapter, in chapter 8. Actually, there's quite a few in here, so I'm going to read these five verses. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. They are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than what we had hoped for. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So the greater context behind what Paul is writing here to the church in Corinth is encouraging them to be generous. The reason why he's encouraging them to be generous is that there's a tremendous need for believers in Jerusalem. These believers in Jerusalem are living in extreme poverty. There is a severe famine in the land, and so people were living without the basic necessities of life. They were going without food, they were going without shelter, without clothing. So Paul is raising funds. If GoFundMe accounts existed in Paul's day, he would have used that. But his social media platform was writing letters and then visits or sending someone to visit the church. And as a way to encourage the church in Corinth to be generous, he points out the example of the churches in Macedonia. So the believers in Macedonia were moved to give based on the need. They saw the need, they knew what was happening in Jerusalem, and they were moved to give. And I just note, that Paul states it is what God has done through them. So even though the people were moved, Paul is giving credit to God. It's what God has done through them. So first, we are to be generous when stirred to action based on need. Second, we are to be generous as a way for God to work through us. Third, we are to be generous when we are filled with abundant joy. Verse 2. Joy-filled people are generous people. Miserable, unhappy, discontented, discouraging, depressed people are not going to be generous. Which makes me think, and I realized, might a person's ability or lack of ability to be generous an indication of the emotional state that they are in? Again, it would be hard to find a miserable, complaining, discouraging person who is also generous. It's not too hard to find someone who's joyful, who's satisfied, who's cheerful, who is also then generous. There's a link between those two things. The fourth reason we are to give is that we first give ourselves to God. Next one there, Andy. This was the end of that verse 5. A fifth reason, and now I realize that my reasons aren't necessarily in order of importance, but we are generous because God is generous. Next one, Andy. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. God generously gave his son. In this verse, we also see a sixth reason to give. God gave because God loved. We give because we love. God's love motivated his generosity. Our love also is our motivation for our generosity. You see, a person can give without loving, but a person cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And here at Bethel, what we want to do, what we want to be all about, is to love God and love others. If and as we love, giving generously will be the natural outflow of that love. As we give, when we give, we reflect the nature of God. God is love. God is generous. And a seventh reason, looking at James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. A seventh reason to be generous is it is a profession of our faith. So we have plenty of reasons to be generous, which is nothing more than just being liberal and giving and sharing. Being generous is also defined as being free from meanness or smallness of mind or character. While we are talking about being generous givers with the money in our possession, we can also, again, carry this out in other areas of our life. We want to be generous people, period. I want to just pay due diligence to the scripture passage that we read, so I'll just point out a few things here in the next verses, verses 7 and 8. We see that we are not to give reluctantly or under compulsion. I talked about that, the wrong motivations of manipulation or fear or guilt. God loves a cheerful giver. When we look at what happens as a result of generous giving, one is that God blesses abundantly, so that in all things and in all times we have all that we need in order to do good works. God's blessing, again, is not the prosperity gospel sevenfold return, more money for you. Rather, God's blessing is in provision of needs, enabling us to do every good work. And then finishing the last few verses, we see that God will enlarge the harvest of our righteousness. So it isn't, again, a enlarging of harvest necessarily of our wealth and our money and our possessions, but of our righteousness. And righteousness here means doing what's in agreement with God's standard. The term harvest is getting back to the principle of sowing and reaping. Again, thinking about the actual seeds in the ground, there is much a farmer can do right or there is much a farmer can do wrong that will either help or hurt the harvest. There's also much out of the farmer's control. It is an act of faith, of trusting God, that the seed will grow and produce. This is also true when we are living up to God's standards for our life. We are trusting that there will be a harvest, either this side of heaven or in the next life as the result of our righteousness. And I would say we benefit from both. Our life is better when we are living up to God's standards here, now, and in the next. Being generous results in thanksgiving to God. That's the last part of verse 11. People will, you will, I will give thanks to God when we benefit from generosity shown to others. A person really can't thank God unless they know God, so in that sense, generosity may be part of an evangelistic strategy. People coming to God, knowing God, walking with God is one of the results of being generous. And when are we to be generous? Verse 11, we are to be generous on every occasion. So this is important to note. We can be. We can be generous on every occasion. When you are generous on every occasion, then you are sowing abundantly, and your harvest will also be abundant. Bethel recently had an occasion to be generous. There just happened to be a 36-member ecumenical choir from Pierce County and surrounding area, plus instruments, who needed a place to meet and practice after taking a 3-year break. This picture isn't here of Bethel, but I think this is you guys of this year. Yeah. See how quickly you're on the internet? However the conversation went, Bethel's leadership said, yes, meet and practice here. So the choir did. We, as the church, were generous with the use of the building, which is great. And then they had a concert here last week, and they didn't charge anyone to attend. They could have charged, but they didn't. One might say, why would they do that? Because they were being generous. They just wanted to share the music and the story of faith in the songs. And then they also thought, we're going to have a free will offering. People could freely donate any amount of money that they felt moved to donate. And people did. You know how much they donated? Well, I don't know either. I don't. Someone does. There's 175 people here, and they most likely gave more than if the choir would have charged tickets. That's kind of the interesting thing about free will donations. We can charge you $5 or donate, and I bet you they took in more. And then the choir, true to form, true to their tradition, gave Bethel 10% of that offering, a tithe. A biblical principle, living it out. It was a thank you gift that the choir did to the host church. They do it to all the host churches. Maybe you saw it coming, you knew that in the history. I wasn't expecting that. That's great. Our sowing of generosity reaped a harvest of generosity. The choir's sowing of generosity reaped a harvest of generosity. May we continue to be generous on every occasion. The more I am able to serve communion, the more I see how much is here at the table. It is a table of God's generosity. God does not just tell us to be generous. He himself is generous with the provision of Jesus as our sacrificial lamb to take away the sins of the world. While this was a one-time act, God provides for us on a daily basis. God's generosity is ongoing. So part of that ongoing generosity is the ongoing desire to forgive us of our sins, the ongoing desire to be in relationship with us, the ongoing desire to lead, to guide, to protect, to provide, to sustain, to encourage, to strengthen us, to give us hope and to give us peace. This is ongoing. God generously provides all this for us all the time. It's not just a one-time act. And all of it's here at the table. God's generosity is captured here as we remember and worship this generous act. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, giving thanks, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you." He also then took the cup after dinner, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood, for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare that the Lord is coming again." So Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, thinking about generosity, who you are, a God of love. Out of that love you gave, you cannot be loving and withhold your generosity. So we thank you, Lord, for this act. We ask your blessing upon it, upon the bread and the cup as we take it in today. May we sense your presence. Wash us anew with your Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. We pray in your name. Amen. I'll invite my servers forward here. And then as they serve you, you'll just stay in the pews. You can take a wafer and just hold on to it till all are served, and then I'll instruct us and we'll take it together. The body of Christ, which has been broken for you, take and eat. We'll have the servers again come with the tray of cup. You can just take one, hold it. And we'll take it together. Thank you. the blood of Christ, which has been shed for you. Take and drink. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Again, for meeting us here, for meeting our needs, for being a generous giver, a God that loves, that calls us into relationship with you. May we continue to go deeper in relationship and faith, and also reflect that nature, your generous nature to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.